rather than with complete carelessness. Can I say as well that to have confidence in God demands a commitment to God, aka trust equals surrender in it all. If you look at 1 John chapter 5 in verses 14 and 15, you can turn there with me or you can just listen along. John writes in this and says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." Can I say, look at that word confidence this morning there in that passage. What does it implicate? What is it indicative of? It's indicative of a very commitment to God. If indeed there is going to be this sense of trust, and we are having this sense of expectancy onto God and depending upon Him and handing things over to Him, then we have to then surrender ourselves unto the authority and sovereignty of His purpose and plan. There is a commitment. There is a loyalty to that. Lord, I am trusting You in this area. Here now, what do You want me to do in light of that? And it's not this idea. I think many Christians struggle right here because we have availability, if you will, of an open door in the heavens where we can throw up all our petitions and all our concerns to the Lord. And I do believe that God wants to hear what we're going through. He wants to hear us communicate and converse with Him. But I think there is a tremendous lacking of faith when we cry out to God instead of a full measure of faith that is being displayed. We cry out in anxiety. We cry out in worry. We cry out in disbelief and doubt when we ought to be crying out in confidence, completely trusting, completely committed to Him. Look at what John writes further in this. He says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will hear us. And we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." How beautiful, is it not? How many of us today, I've been guilty of it myself there, in crying out to God in all my woes and concerns, and I can tell you some of them were so small and seemingly insignificant, and I'm thinking in my mind, and even how gracious our God is that He still provides, even though there is a lacking of faith in the midst of my cry, yet He still provides. And I look back and I'm thinking, oh, Ethan, how foolish you are. How silly you are in your whole idea of faith, and that you're crying out to me in such doubt and worry and woe. Am I not the God of all the earth? Is there no one beside me? Is nothing too hard for me? You know, not only do we have the promises of God's word that He will provide, that He will meet the needs if we will but just seek Him. Not only do we see the great power of His hand in the midst of the creation around us, but we also have these experiences in our lives as believers throughout that we can look back upon, and we see not the absence of God, but we see ever the presence of God. What more do we need to have a sense of confidence in our lives in the very One who has created us? Can I get a witness on that? The phrase that James uses in this text shows how a consistent and real faith needs to be. If you look there in verse 6, he uses the phrase "not or nothing wavering," if you will. Here's the idea, or here's the contrast, if you will, that those who ask in faith, indeed, this whole idea of faith, the very essence of faith, does not display itself in an unstable, inconsistent being. That there is indeed a stability. There is indeed a foundation there. Certainly, as John puts it here, our confidence is in Him, not in ourselves or in anything else. When we see the validity of that confidence, why is there any wavering in it all? Can I get a witness on that? When we look at this Greek word for wavering, it is the word diakrino, which means the idea of separating thoroughly or to withdraw from here. It means in its simplest form to hesitate. Now, I don't know about you, But I can honestly say in my life, when I have a circumstance arise, I have a situation that, quite frankly, I don't like that happens. Oftentimes, I've been there where I've hesitated in my faith and trusting in God and depending upon Him and giving it over to Him. Maybe I try to take care of it myself. Boy, that just makes it worse, doesn't it? It does. But it's this idea of withdrawing from. It's the kind of concept that carries with it the necessity for a sense of stability that must exist within the mind, but it also implicates then as well the idea of a consistency and stability within the body and life of the individual themselves. Is that not so true? Indeed, there needs to be that mental dependence, that mental commitment to God. But that mental commitment is lived out. And we can clearly see it as the nose is on our faces there, that if it is not demonstrated in our lives, we question whether it actually exists within our minds. Is there a mental dependence and commitment and devotion to God? Is it truly demonstrated in our day-to-day being? Do others see it? Or do they see you wavering? Or do they see you tossed, as James says, out of control? You know, I've been there. I think we all have. Where we're going through something in our lives, and what you want to do in your own person and being is you want to throw in the towel. Before you've gone to God, you've tried every route or resource or tool or circumstance or method available to try and remedy your situation, and none of them have proven to be sufficient to handle the problem that you face. And then it's finally at that point when all other things have failed that we finally cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. And what happens? Oh, if you would have just done this sooner, Ethan, I would have taken care of it for you. I wonder sometimes if the situations in our lives we face, we go through them longer, quite frankly, than what we should, simply because we've not depended on God initially in the first place in our lives. And when I look at this in the whole light of the concept of faith, if we're not devoted, dependent, committed, surrendered to the very wisdom of God that He has graciously imparted to us, then there is not going to be an evidence displayed of the very faith that we claim to be of. Plain and simple. James says, don't be tossed. We can't begin crying out to God, asking Him for help and provision and blessing, etc., and then going along in our daily lives doing whatever we please and then expect God to perform as we see fit. That's what we want, don't we? That's what we want, is we want this God to be, in our minds, subject to us. That's what we want. And we want to say, here, God, let me take this fine, pretty brass lamp, and I'll rub the side of it, and you'll come out, and I'll get my three wishes, and then I'll go on with my happy life. That's the type of God that you and I as human beings paint in our lives. But it's not the type of God that we serve. And that is not a demonstration, nor is it a definition of faith. It's the exact opposite of it all. Amazingly, He still takes care of us.